When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that takes some weight off your plate, puts some pep in your step, and reminds you that you are loved. If you are hearing a makeshift, terrible rendition of a song in the intro of an episode, you already know what it is. It is I, your host, Cameron the Cree Davis. Hen is out this week. He had a massive, massive development in his basement, I believe. So the basement, something's flooding. I'm so fucking fried from work over the past week and sick children once again that I can't even really keep up. But I do know that something is leaking, okay? Something's leaking, and the basement was flooded. And so he had to rip out all these fucking flooring. I've seen pictures. It looks like an absolute disaster. Hell on earth type shit. And I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. So this week, you got me. You got me. And, you know, it should be a fun little conversation. I'm going to keep it light. I'm going to keep it short. It's not going to be a very long episode today. Basically because I just told you I'm fucking fried out this week, friends. But we love you guys, and you deserve a Monday morning episode. So here I am. First, before I get started, let me throw in a zin. We like I said, we're still sucking on zins over here. So let me throw one in real quick. And once I do that, which is this instant for the audio listeners, delicious. Now that that's been accomplished, let me get on the first topic here now that I'm looking at the can. California can straight up eat my fucking ass, okay? We literally have people shitting in the streets, people, you know, with all these makeshift fucking crazy things going on, and we're doing drugs everywhere and all these things. The state's on fucking fire. We're mismanaging water. We're doing all kinds of things. Like, we're like the laughing stock of the entire country. The only thing going for us here is the fact that, yes, it is another sunny day out here. But I have a bone to pick with the state of California on why the fuck I have to have Zin smooths when I want to have Zin chills. I'm trying to quit fucking chewing here, all right? And these little nicotine pouches have helped me accomplish that, right? We're going on, like, what, close to, like, 2 months here. And I found those little Zin chill pouches were really, really exciting me. They were really exciting me. I was very excited about those. They gave my gums a little tingle that I thoroughly enjoyed. It kind of had this slight cooling effect, and I loved it. I was like, okay, word, dude. Kind of like when I found my favorite type of chewing tobacco back when I did it. I found my perfect can of Zins, and lo and behold, what happens? We ban the chill Zins out here. The you cannot get Zin chills. You cannot get anything that has the word chill in it because we have zero chill out here in California. I mean, what are our fucking priorities here? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. And I know you come to this show to listen to recovery and all sorts of healing shit, but this is me having to vent an absolute resentment towards the way that this state runs things. I mean, it just makes no fucking sense. You're trying to get people off of tobacco, right? And it seems like you're having a pretty high success rate. And people are loving these types of Zin pouches, or, you know, what other companies have, their little fucking chill pouches. And you know what? Let's get rid of those. Let's get rid of those. Looks like people are buying those too much. Let's get rid of those. So, I mean, dude, what's the mission here? Like, are we trying to get people back on tobacco? Are you trying to kill me? I actually think that Gavin Newsom is actually trying to kill me. He's trying to kill me. He wants me to go back to chewing. It's fucking crystal clear. This is absolutely his plan to destroy my life. And, you know, I'm not going to let him win. I'm not going to let him win. So I really just had to pick a bone there with the ridiculous politics on banning Zen chills, because I'm very upset about it. I'm very upset. But, you know, last week we had our buddy Nick Hine on, and that was a great episode, man. You know, Nick's a very cool, positive guy, and, you know, a lot of curveballs in there, right? You know, him sharing that, you know, he came to faith, how that's kind of transformed his life, and how some things just kind of fell into his lap. And he seems to be overall just, you know, a lot happier than he normally is. I mean, the guy's always had a positive attitude. And I think we probably could have got into maybe how he navigates that a little bit better, right? Because, I mean, it can't all be sunshine and rainbows. I mean, we can look at birds and worship the Lord and everything can be fine and well. But he's got to have some demons in there. So, Nick, we may have to get you back on. But overall, I thought it was a really good episode, and I think it highlighted a lot of things that we continue to preach here, which is, you know, the power of hobbies, the power of setting boundaries, and kind of, you know, giving it to God, whatever that looks like for you or any of our listeners. You know, if you're an atheist, then you're an atheist. I don't know. Give it to the door. But you know, he kind of shared how, you know, trusting the process, you know, releasing control and letting things kind of fall into place, it ended up working out. And 99% of the time, at least from my experience, that it usually works out that way. I can't fucking explain it, but when I'm not trying to play the puppet master and absolutely fucking jam my will up everybody's ass, everything seems to go a lot better. Right. And yes, I'm trying to jam my will up everybody's ass. I mean, dude, some of the things that come out of my fucking mouth, I can't even believe it sometimes. But I thought that was a really good, you know, thing to highlight was, you know, surrendering, giving it up and being able to move forward. So shout out to him and shout out to everybody who showed up on our next live next week, next Thursday, I believe, if I look at the calendar, let's see if I can do that while sitting here talking to myself. Let's take a look. Let's do it live because this is top-notch podcasting. Our little Google Calendar, la, 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 la. Let's take a look. Yes, Live Nation is on the calendar for the 24th on Friday at 4 o'clock. So be there or be square. So if you are listening to me right now, we expect your ass there and we expect your asses to interact with us. You guys did a fantastic job with that. We were having tons of fun with that. We really do enjoy doing that. So thank you for everybody who's actually gotten on there and, you know, hit subscribe and liked the videos and been a part of that. Cause that's going to be an implement. That's going to be something that we are going to be implementing on the regular around here because it's just so much damn fun. And plus you guys get to come in and you get to watch us be idiots and, you know, it builds a sense of community, the Rude Gang, as we call it. So that'll be exciting. We had to cancel on our guests this week because of, like I said, the previous stated things. But we will have him back here sometime soon and all will be well. I figured I'd hit a little check-in today in the forms of, I guess, what I would like to call a topic. There's something I'm struggling with, and it's something that I've struggled with for quite some time now. And, you know, maybe some of my listeners, they're my listeners, Henry, they're mine, all of them, my listeners, our listeners can reach out to me if you struggle with this, but I'm having trouble with family members who are still in active addiction. And what I mean by that is the blatant disregard of getting the help that they need when they want the help that they need and have all the opportunities to get the help they need and are actively choosing not to. I don't know how to juggle it. And, you know, we had Anna on, my aunt. I've been in conversation with her pretty frequently lately over this, that, you know, I'm copying these hardcore resentments, and they're starting to eat me up. And that's not a good place for us to be in recovery, right? Like, I'm not saying I'm walking around the house and I'm fucking angry all the time, but when I come across the said person or said persons that I'm alluding to, and I see the same bullshit, I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad because I'm tired of hearing the same old story, and I'm tired of hearing and seeing the same old shit. And like, I don't mean to sound like pretentious and holier than thou. And that's how I feel sometimes when I sit here and I bring this shit up. Like, I go, oh, I'm the sober person. Like, listen to me because I got it all figured out, Hoss. Like, no, like, that's not what I'm trying to say or not what I'm trying to do. But I can see how maybe sometimes it can be interpreted that way. Like, hey, dude, you remember what it was like. I do remember what it was like. I do. And I think another thing that's bothering me the most is that one of these people that I'm talking about has been sober. Okay? For years. Like, so, like, not like, oh, hey, you know, this person was sober for, you know, 3 months, and shout out to anybody with 3 months. I'm not trying to discredit you at all, but they were sober for 3 months and then they went back out and never came back. Like, that's a different story. I'm talking about someone who's strung together like multiple years and was living a way better life, right? Like, a way better life. And then the old devil gimbal got him, and here we are. Here we are, right? So the problem I have is, okay, so we gave in, right? We gave in to the Gipper, and we've been having a good time at the beginning, and now we're right back to, I mean, massive amounts of drinking and unmanageability, right? So we're fucking square right back to where we were before that stint of sobriety I was talking about earlier. Okay. So what do we do? Right. What do we do? Well, I know for me that the beginning of sobriety was fucking very imposing, right? It was scary because it was the unknown, right? So when I say that, like, I didn't know, just like everybody else, you're listening, well, duh, Cameron, everybody felt that way. Well, you know, just hear me out. So I didn't know what life was going to look like, right? Because I'd always been fucked up. I have always been loaded. I have always been doing this. This is who I am. This is my personality. It's all a lie, but that's what I told myself. So the fact that I was going to remove that from myself, which I believed was my entire personality, my entire worth, my entire everything. Okay, I was going to remove that. How the fuck was I ever going to survive? Right? Then you'll hear that in the rooms like 3,000 times a week if you decide to go to a meeting a week. Like, every day, you can go and you'll hear a guy saying this exact same thing that I just said. Okay? This isn't fucking earth-shattering stuff, but here we are. Okay? So I didn't know. But then eventually, here we are working towards 7 years sober, and I eventually took the leap, and thank God for it, right? And it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. And it wasn't as, you know, it really wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, because I was just so fucking beat down. But, maybe people who have had more severe relapses, this may be another thing. Now I'm all over the place. But maybe people who've had more severe relapses can talk to me about this. Because I didn't have one of those, and knock on wood, I haven't, and God willing, I won't, right? But I had a one-day relapse when I first got sober for you know, one day. And then I got sober again, and that's why my original sobriety date is February 15th. And then my new sobriety date, as I've told on here, is April 28th. Okay, so, like, you know, I had that one slip, and then now I'm going towards 7 years. And I guess, you know, maybe it's harder. Well, I guess it's harder. I guess it's harder the longer you stay away. And that's something I have to, this is like a, as Superboss would call it, I'm going to call this an epiphany. See, I'm talking this out by myself on the pod, and I'm coming to minor epiphanies, okay? Maybe it's the time spent away that makes it so hard to come back. Maybe I'm failing to see that. Maybe I'm failing to see that, because my point that I'm always trying to preach is, you know what the fuck to do, right? And that circles back to what I was saying, you know, in the beginning, the things that were holding me back, right? Was, okay, I don't know what it looks like. What do you mean I'm not going to drink? How am I going to deal with that? What is it going to be? Who am I going to be? What am I going to do? Yada, yada, yada. I'm scary. I'm just going to put that off for another day. Well, no, if you've strung together like fucking, you know, 3 to 5 years or some shit, like that's some astronomical amount of fucking, you know, sustained sobriety, you know what the fuck it looks like. You know what it is. You are actively choosing to not. And I get the phenomenon of craving, and I get the fucking pull, man. I was a fucking slave for years. An absolute slave for years. So I get it. I get it, dude. Like, I understand that when the first thing you wake up, the only thing you're thinking about is fucking drinking, and all day all you're thinking about is drinking, and fucking before you go to bed, you're trying to figure out how you're going to make it to the next day to continue fucking drinking. Or at least that's just me. That was my sole existence, okay? My sole existence was, how am I going to stay drunk every minute of my waking hours? Every fucking minute. And that is not a fucking exaggeration. All right. So I understand the pull. I understand the craving. I understand the, I have to do this so that I can feel better. I have to do this so that my mind will shut the fuck up. I have to do this because I don't want to have seizures. I have to do this so I can stop shaking. I have to do this so I can fucking not throw up. I have to do this just because I have to fucking do this. I get it. I get it. So I stand with you in solidarity, but you fucking know what you got to do. Right. You fucking know. And this goes out to anybody who's struggling right now. You know what you have to do. You know. When you come to me and you confide in me, or say Henry, or somebody that you feel fucking safe confiding in, and you're like, hey, I need help. I need help. This is getting out of control. Well, we're giving you pearls here. You gotta do it. You gotta do it. Or this is just going to stay the same. And it's sad as fuck, man. It's sad as fuck. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. You know, and I hate that it's getting me so fucking angry. Right? Because of what I said earlier. I know what it is. I understand. So why is it so hard for me to accept this? Is it because I inherently love these people? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 110%. If there wasn't some, you know, innate, you know, intimate relationship factor, or, you know, some sort of emotional pull, you know, I'd still care. I still get, you know, I make sly little jokes about, you know, people on the streets and things like that. Like, that's not a fucking joke. That's me joking. So if you haven't caught on to my sense of humor yet, you need to replay all the episodes and try to get a read on who I am. I'm just a dry, sarcastic asshole. I don't mean that. I drive past all these people on the fucking roads, these drug addicts and alcoholics, and it makes me fucking sick to my stomach because it's fucking sad, dude. It's fucking sad. Yes, a lot of that is self-induced, but a lot of it isn't, okay? And I don't know what the fuck's going on in people's heads or how they got there or anything like that. And I've said that like 16 times on this podcast, but it's worth repeating, right? So I think the factor is that I'm very close with these anonymous people that I keep rambling about. And so I want the best for them. I try to lead by example for them. I try to give them the pearls that I have been freely given, right? I have all these fucking one-liners and zingers, and I can sit down and I can have the conversation and go, yes, I understand. I get it. I feel you on a spiritual level. brother. I get it. I understand what you're talking about. I understand what you're feeling like. I understand how hard it is. And I understand every single thing that you're telling me. Right? And then you can have what I think is actually pissing me off the most. Who knows? Maybe I'll keep talking and there's gonna be another thing that pisses me off as I keep rambling. What pisses me off the most is that I have these really heartfelt conversations, and then it seems like there's a breakthrough, and then it's like 2 days later and I find out that no, there's no breakthrough. And it really just shows like the power of addiction, right? It just shows how fucking evil this shit is. It just does. Like, you can have conversations that are wrought with tears and raw emotion, and you can have these really heartfelt conversation and think that you're on the other side of it and going, okay, hey, I think this was the conversation. I think this was it. And I have hope that, you know, tomorrow's going to be a better day and things are going to turn around. And it doesn't happen. And then a part of me twists that back on myself and I go, okay, how upset was everybody with me? Right? How upset was everybody with me? And that's when I start feeling like a pretentious dickhead. Right? That's when I start feeling like a fucking asshole. That's when I start feeling like a hypocrite. Right? So, you know, who the fuck am I to be getting upset about this shit? How many heartfelt conversations and tear-laden fucking conversations did I have? More than I can count, brother man. More than I can count, and more than I can even fucking honestly remember, you know? There's videos of me doing that, like, somewhere, you know? Ashley has a bunch on her phone, and I'm sure fucking various other ex-girlfriends, I mean, I'm sure they deleted it by now, because who wants to see that fucking pathetic shit, but, you know, they had them too, right? So, I mean, how many conversations were had with me? It's an immeasurable amount. And so, When I sit there and I try to string that together, it really just boils down to this. What a bunch of fucking bullshit this addiction shit is, man. The destroyer of lives, the destroyer of worlds, the chaos and the sickness and the manipulation and the lies and the bullshit and the two-faced fucking crap that we feed to people thinking that it's going to fucking... that it's going to convince them so you can get by for another day, right? And I thank God for my sobriety that I'm able to see through it, right? But it's also a curse because I can see through it, if that makes sense. So, like, I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and I go that's bullshit. You know, that's bullshit. And that's some more bullshit. And so part of me comes across as a dickhead too. Be like, well, that's a fucking lie, right? And that comes back to what I brought up on Nitty's pod on his episode. And Hen and I have talked about multiple times. And we stand by this, right? Like, if I love you, I owe you the truth. I owe you the truth. Hen and I have had fucking, you know, off the record conversations where we both had to be fucking truthful with each other about certain shit, right? And, you know, egos get set to the side and things get fucking handled properly with the truth. With the truth. Because it's true. I'm telling you the fucking truth, right? And so being able to see it for what it is hurts more. Hurts more. I may be alone on that. I may be alone on that, and excuse me, I need to get a drink of water, because usually when we're tracking, Henry will talk, I'll talk, you guys know the format, Henry will talk, I'll talk, and if you watch any of our videos, you'll see me sipping on my therapeutic water bottle that has to stay with me at all times, so stand by for 1 second. Ah, that's a delicious sparkling water. With one of those little like hydration sticks in it. It's like a cherry lemon fucking you know, hydration stick. Delicious. Nobody come at me for my sparkling water addiction. It is what it is, all right? But I guess really what I'm getting at is I just wanted to get on here and fucking vent to myself, I guess. You know? I guess I just wanted to get on here and vent to myself and to our listeners about how these struggles can happen to all of us, right? And it really highlights, when you're around it, how for our people in addiction and in recovery, it really kind of is an eye-opening experience to really how crazy we were, right? I think we can forget sometimes. And I think I'm making it pretty apparent that I can sometimes. Most times now. As time goes by, there are moments that I can forget. Because, you know, that person feels dead to me, that version of Cameron. He tries coming out every now and then with sneaky little lies and shit and wanting to do little random trifling things, right? Like, the behavior's still there. That guy's still there. But the urge to drink and shit like that, aside from the random intrusive thoughts that pop up every now and then that happen to everybody, you can't tell me that they don't. You know, that guy's dead, right? Waking up at fucking 5 a.m. to start drinking, that guy's not here. And I've worked really hard to make sure that he's not here, right? And so when you get enough time, you can forget that that guy is still here. And you can forget who that guy was, right? Who was that guy? Well, like I've talked about a million times on here, we all know who that guy was. Right? A bad person, a sick person, a very manipulative and lying and terrible person, right? And a sad drunk. So I guess I just have to work on setting healthier boundaries, right? Or I got to go to Al-Anon, I guess. There's another minor epiphany as we're 27 minutes into this short Cameron-only episode. I guess I gotta go to Al-Anon and find a way to accept that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, that's not going to change until the person that I'm alluding to wants to change. And I know that. I fucking know that. That's the stupidest shit about this whole thing. This whole fucking rant is absolutely fucking stupid because I know that. I know that. And it shows the human struggle, right? Like when we fucking care about these fucking people, like that's so much easier said than done. It's so much easier said than done. Like, oh, hey, I'm just going to hold this motherfucking boundary. I'm going to tell you to suck a dick and see you on the other side, bro. Like, no, dude, that doesn't just fucking happen overnight. And it's really kind of hard to do. It's really kind of hard to do. There are certain people and certain situations and certain things where I can do that impeccably. Impeccably. You know what I mean? Like, I could easily, you know, tell people, yeah, we're not doing any of that, and I'm not doing that, and here's this and here's that, and fucking eat it. Right? Like I do that well on most days with a lot of other different scenarios. Right? Fuck, I do it at work. Right? Like I don't fuck around. Okay? But in this circumstance, I do fuck around, I guess. I do. And so I really just wanted to kind of hash that out with you guys, and I just wanted to kind of lay it all out there because, you know, it's hard. It's hard. And if anybody listening has somebody, like a close family member, a lover, a husband, a wife, a sibling, a close friend that is in active addiction and just isn't hearing what you're having to say or isn't willing to take the step yet, I deeply sympathize with you. And I know Hen does too. And so does, you know, everybody in recovery. right? Because it's fucking sad and it's fucking hard. It's hard. I actually think this is harder than getting sober, to be honest with you. I think it is. Because you just want to fucking shake them and I want to strangle people, right? Let me help you. I want to be the director. Let me help you. Help me help you. Listen to what I'm saying. I am a sober wizard in my mind. If you do what I say, things will turn around. And it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And that's what makes it so fucking tricky. And that's what makes it so heartbreaking. And so I think a great synopsis for this would be I got to go to Al-Anon and I gotta find a better way of dealing with this. So thank you for listening to me on this little 30-minute rant of why I feel like a pretentious sober asshole sometimes, how I struggle when people in active addiction don't listen to my fucking sound advice, and how I'm a dickhead, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. But I really appreciate you guys listening. I really do. This was a very, very exciting episode. Like I said, it was going to be a short one because, you know, I don't really have much to talk about because I have that on my mind. I have that on my mind. I was doing home improvement projects. I had this old furnace in this house for like a trillion years, right? And it was non-operational and it's just this fucking eyesore. And we've been meaning to get it removed for like since we bought the house, which was like 3 years ago or something like that. And finally, like, decided to, like, you know, call a fucking contractor and be like, can you get this fucking ugly ass thing out of the house? And so that got taken out, you know, got the hole patched and did some painting today. So I was doing home improvement projects to be in solidarity with my partner. Henry and I both working on home improvement projects. And we're standing side by side while he's out in West Virginia freezing his dick off. And I'm out here wearing a short sleeve t-shirt and shorts. I think this may be an omen, the California fires, because dude, there's no rain to be had out here. I think as I look at the fucking, as I look at the weather here, this will be some more scintillating audio for everybody. What is it? Yeah, I got another 10 days of no rain coming. None expected in the next 10 days. We will have some clouds on Tuesday and some clouds on Friday. And it's going to be like 60 degrees basically for the next 10 days. So this is not going to be good. This is an omen that the entire state is going to spontaneously combust, this summer. Just trust and believe. I'm not wishing for this. I just have a feeling. I just have a feeling. Something's telling me that we will be choking on smoke in 110 degree weather in the Sacramento Valley this summer. I'm putting it on the pod. It is happening. It is happening. So, that was kind of, really all I wanted to get on during this short little episode was, you know, somebody help me deal with this. This is a cry for fucking help. The sun is shining too much in California and, Jefferson Airplane is fucking awesome. As you could tell from the beginning of this episode, that song is so fucking good. And Nick Hine being the master bass player, if you're listening to this, that bass line in that song is fucking delicious. It's delicious. It really is. And it reminds me of the movie The Cable Guy, to be honest with you. Shaka-da, shaka-da, shaka-da-da-da. And if you haven't seen that movie, you need to see it for that part only. Cause that's a fucking funny fucking movie and a hilarious, hilarious part. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to get into. So the other day, you know, Henry mentioned on, I forget what episode it was an episode back, but he mentioned that people just walk in the fucking crosswalks like it's no big deal, they don't even look. Well, the other day, I was coming back from, fuck, I don't know, Target or some shit, and the light turns green, and what do I get, dude? I get just these two, they had to be like 19-year-old, like a chick and a dude, walking while eating a fucking, literally like a gallon tub of ice cream, just walking. They didn't push the fucking crosswalk. The light's green. I almost fucking ran them over. And when they looked at me, dude, the chick had the audacity to throw gang signs at me, dude. I couldn't fucking believe it. She literally looked at me and like gave me like fucking like some like random fucking bird signs, dude. Like was like gang gang, dude. And I literally was like it took everything in my soul to not roll down the window and be like, bro, I will kill you. Like, don't you know who I am? Like, I will run your fucking ass over and eat your ice cream. Like, don't fucking throw your fucking fake ass gang signs at me. All right. Blood, leave me alone. Like, you're obviously fucking stoned out of your mind walking across the fucking street. I almost just killed you. Right. So take your gang signs and fly the fuck out of my sight. Leave me alone. Go smoke another blunt and be gone. Be gone from me, vile man. Be gone with me. Like, I couldn't fucking believe it, dude. I fucking literally. And then of course, as you know, it probably goes for most people, I sped through that fucking intersection to just prove my dominance, right? No one's throwing gang signs at me, dude. I am a white male in the suburbs. This is unacceptable. This is fucking crazy. And so I sped through there. And then I'm driving through fucking neighborhoods 5 miles over the speed limit like a savage, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna turn around. I'm gonna teach these kids a lesson. What am I gonna do? I wasn't gonna do anything, and I sure as hell wasn't gonna turn around. That's what my brain was telling me. Dare you throw fucking gang signs at me? You don't know who I am. So that was a fun development, dude. Fun development. I got tested hard, dude. We almost killed somebody by running them over, and then when we didn't run them over, instead of just being shown gratitude, I got thrown gang signs, like I was supposed to be afraid. Well, I'm a gangster, dude. We're not afraid of your fucking gang signs around here. All right, you don't know who we are. All right, I will rob you, and then take all your money that you don't have, and go buy alcohol with it. And then I'll go and I'll sit in your mom's couch and rob her. So you better watch who you're throwing gang signs at. And that's past Cameron. Past Cameron would do that. Current Cameron doesn't do that anymore. But that's about it, man. I'm not going to waste anybody else's time with any more fucking incessant rambling. So like I said earlier, next week on the 24th, that's a Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, we will be doing another live episode. It'll just be Hen and I. Please mark it on your calendar. Please come and show up. We will remind you. Henry will tag everybody, so be prepared for that. You will be reminded, and we do expect you to show up, and we do expect you to subscribe. And I'm going to have another request for you this week. There's a little notification bell on the YouTube page. I'm going to need you guys to click that too. All right? I'm going to need you guys to click that too. All right, because it helps us get the fucking podcast and the YouTube out to other people. It's so annoying having to say that shit, but it's really the only way, guys, and I'm sorry. Like, it feels terrible. It does. I gotta be honest. Like, you gotta sit here and be like, can you please click the follow button, please? And can you please hit the subscribe button? And if it doesn't trouble you too much, you know that little bell, could you click it? And if you're feeling generous, share it with somebody? Like it feels pathetic. It feels pathetic, but we really do. If you enjoy the podcast, we really do appreciate you guys showing up and, you know, putting that in and helping us out. Because none of this would have happened if it wasn't for you hardcore listeners who listen to the show on the regular. And I got to be completely fucking honest, because we've done very minimal advertising, if any. And the fact that we've gotten as far as we've gotten with just this grassroots marketing, which means that you guys are listening, you guys are sharing, you guys are putting in the fucking work. We love you very much. That's what that means. So I have one more request, is hit the bell. And then next week and the week after that, I'll have another one for you. You can count on it. You can count on it. So gird your loins. I just don't know what it is yet, but it'll be some other fucking platform that we'll need you to follow us on. And, you know, maybe it'll be the new TikTok after this TikTok gets banned. It'll be our Rick Rock. And you can come and watch us there, where we'll post the same thing that we post on Instagram and YouTube, but we'll need you to follow and we'll need you to like there. Shit is fucking madness sometimes. But that's all I got. It's weird without Hen here. It really is. Still, after all this time, I miss him. I miss him. And I hope that the floor dries out for him and he gets that fixed. And so we can be here on Friday with all of you lovely listeners. So I will finish it like I always do. I love you, Hen, very much. I'm sorry for your misfortunes, but luckily you are a man and you can fucking do it all, my dude. And Hen will come back and say, I love you too, Cam. And remember, I can do everything because I'm a master fucking goddamn carpenter and fucking floor man and electrician and fucking window guy, and I can do it all. And be yourself and fuck what they think. And I go, somebody show me where an Al-Anon meeting is. Later, dude. Peace out.